Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
This morning, I want to talk on the subject, ministering with compassion. Ministering with compassion. Let us pray. Father, we are ready to receive a word from you. We've been blessed with good praying, good music, good wonderful stories. Now, Lord, we enter into your word to receive the same power that your word had during creation. So speak now. Let your word just come to us with such force and power that nothing inside of us or outside of us will be able to withstand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ministering with compassion. He was a loan officer that enjoyed a beautiful house, beautiful car, and just a good family life. Things were good for him until the recession hit. And the loans weren't coming in as much. And so, just like other banks and mortgage companies, he was let go with the promise that when things pick up again, we will hire you back. But of course, things did not pick up. And before long, he was not able to make the payment for his mortgage. And so he lost his house. As he lost his house, the only thing that he was able to afford was a studio apartment. He moved into a studio apartment with his family. His wife got very upset, and she left him. And there he was alone, not able to find a job, and not able to manage his money well. He even lost his studio apartment. With nowhere else to go, he was homeless. Homeless. Destitute. They were a loving, wonderful couple. Matter of fact, the whole period before their marriage, or the preparation for their marriage, theirs was the marriage of the year. Beautiful couple. Everybody thought that they were meant for each other. 6 months into the marriage, he started hanging out with the fellows more. He started drinking with the fellows more. And before long, with his drinking problem, he became abusive, physically, verbally. The marriage became terrible. And they went through an ugly divorce, both unhappy. He was a 19-year-old looking for a job. Didn't realize after he had graduated that it would take him so long just to find a simple job. He said, "I'll take anything. I just need a job." He played his basketball, but most of the time he was idle, just hanging out. And one day, on the basketball court, he got pushed. Got pushed again. Before long, he got embarrassed, and he felt In order to protect his manhood, he needed to retaliate. Before long, a gun showed up in his hand. He used it, shot and killed his opponent. He didn't even run. He stood there, speechless, over the bleeding body. Now he was doing time in prison. He spent most of his time with his head on his knees. He was a good Christian. Graduated from high school, off he went to college. He decided that he was going to be a paralegal. There he met a lovely girl, just sweet. They started dating, and she would take him out to weekend parties. He didn't know that she used drugs, but he felt it was harmless. It was fun. And before long, he started using drugs too. But he got hooked. She didn't. And before long, it was controlling him and not him controlling it. And he became desperate. And the only thing on his mind was getting high. Before long, she left him. He dropped out of school. Couldn't find a job. Parents did not want him at home. The only house that would take him was the crack house. What similarities do these stories have? Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And here we have Jesus doing what he does best: serving people, helping people. And we're just going to read a few verses here that highlights Jesus in action, ministering with compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick with palsy. He was paralyzed, lying on his bed. Let's go to verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but please come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Verse 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 long years. Verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying, saying to him, "Son of David, please have mercy upon us." Verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man who was dumb, who couldn't speak. He was possessed with a devil. The same problems that we see today in individuals who are homeless, individuals who go through very hostile marriages, individuals who are imprisoned, individuals who have drug problems, individuals who have financial problems. Those types of individuals existed even during Jesus' time. And the question is, what was his response? Did he hold a committee meeting? Did he have a program? What was Jesus' response? And behold, the same response that Jesus had is the same response he wants us to have. In verse 36, it says there, he saw the multitudes of people. And he was moved with what, everybody? He was moved with compassion. It is so easy to minister without compassion. The word compassion consists of really a prefix, C-O-M, come, and the word passion. And to understand the meaning of the word compassion, you have to understand the meaning of the prefix come, and you have to understand the meaning of the word passion. The prefix come simply means with or together. With, together. The word passion means and having an intense conviction of about something. Having an intense conviction about something, or feeling deeply about something. Passion. And then we have the word compassion. So what does the word compassion mean? Many times we have deep convictions about something, don't we? Passion. We're passionate about something. We have passion for something. Many times we have deep feelings about something. But what is compassion? How do you move from passion to compassion? The word compassion means having or being sympathetic about other people's problems or other people's distressing situations. That's compassion. Being sympathetic with other people's problems or distressing situation. But there's a difference between compassion and passion, because compassion is not compassion unless after you've had that sympathetic feeling about other people's problem, you then have a desire to help those individuals. So you can be passionate about something, but compassion says, now I have a deep desire to help. I have a deep desire to make a difference in that person's life. And I submit to you, church, that when we have compassion in ministry, that the people becomes the object of our ministry. It is so easy to get caught up in the committee meetings. It is so easy to get caught up in planning programs, but yet not meeting the needs of those we originally said that we will minister to. Amen? Every single ministry in our church has as its job description to meet the needs of people. And we must not forget people. Amen? Just think about the individuals that you passed by on the way to church this morning. Some of us, it's such an automatic thing, we don't even think about it. But many of those individuals, they are either homeless, they're either have addiction problems, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or work, whether it's individuals who have marital problems. We pass them by this morning. We pass individuals who are unemployed, individuals who are wondering where their next meal are going to come from. We passed individuals who were just sentenced and they're about to go to prison. But oftentimes we see them, we don't have an answer for their problem, and what do? We just pass them by. We come here to a church that has as its mission to evangelize, to disciple other people into a loving fellowship that's open to all in the community. But sometimes it's possible to be a member of this church and not even get close to doing that. Jesus ministered with compassion. Let us look at verse 36 again. The same people we saw, Jesus saw. Same type of people. He saw the multitude. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. You ever seen a sheep without a shepherd? Okay. Most of the sheep that we see here, they're on flat land. They're fenced in. There's really very little danger that's facing the sheep. The sheep in the Bible times, they had no fence. The terrain was very hilly and rocky. There were bushes and there were dangers of wild animals. A sheep having no shepherd. Sheep that are scattered. Sheep that have no direction. Sheep that are faint and weary. The word scattered here meaning that as if somebody just took them and just flung them, and tossed them and threw them, and wherever they land, that's just the way they are. That's how they looked to Jesus. He did not look away. He did not, his object was not, oh, I got a meeting to go to. Bible says he was moved with compassion. That word there, compassion, there, it means also that his very bowels, his whole abdomen was turning inside because of what he saw in them. He was moved with compassion. I want us to hold our place in Matthew 9, and I want us to go to Luke chapter 10. Because we have here the very same scenery, but Luke put something in there that's very interesting. Luke chapter 10, and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. It came to pass that as they went, he, Jesus, entered into a village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And from reading the Gospels, we know that that house was a house that Jesus went to many times, just to hang out, just to rest, and just to let his hair down, where he don't have to worry about, how, you know, when he took his sandals off, how dirty his feet were, what other people would think about him. When he walked into the house, you know, he was just one of the family members. And the Bible says in verse 39 that Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Meaning that Mary was just a person that wherever Jesus went, she went. Whatever Jesus said, man, she took it in and listened to every single word. But Martha, verse 40, was burdened with serving. Did you get that? Martha was burdened with serving. Burdened with serving. You know what's interesting is when I hear somebody make the comment, I have this burden on my heart. And then they go and they rattle off, and much of what they say is negative. God doesn't want you to have a burden. He wants you to have passion and then compassion. Amen? People who are burdened get burned out. Are you with me? Because instead of looking at the problem with an answer, you're looking at the problem with a problem. Do you get me? And if we look at it that way, it's easy just to get burnt out. It's easy to get weary. It's easy to give up. Verse 40, Martha was burdened much with serving. And what did she do? She do what many burdened people do. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come here and help me. Martha had a problem that many of us have. She hadn't learned to follow Jesus. She hadn't learned that where Jesus is, that's where the action is. Martha was just concerned with serving, with doing. Mary was concerned about being. She was more concerned about who she was than what she did, because she knew that who she was determined what she did. And if you would focus on being the right person as opposed to doing the right thing, you will always do the right thing when you are the right person. Amen? You got to be before you can do. And you got to do before you can have. Somebody say amen. All right? Focus on being. Mary watched Jesus, followed Jesus. She was into Jesus' word. And so she was where the action was. Martha was left behind, burdened with serving. Martha was probably like one of those individuals who complain, I called a meeting and nobody showed up. Martha was probably like one of those individuals who was consecrated and dedicated at the beginning of the year, and by the middle of the year, she's just a ministry leader in name only. Because she got burdened with serving. Mary understood where the action was, is where Jesus was. And so Mary was always successful. Mary was always moved with excitement and passion because she stayed in touch with Jesus. Did Mary have problems? She had worse problems than her sister Martha. Martha was a good, you know, kind of stay-at-home mom. Mary is one of those women that ran the streets. But she found something in Jesus that she would never let go of, even though many times she slipped and fell back into her old ways, back into running the streets, back into going to parties, back into hanging with men that she thought would take care of her. Only once they got what they got, they dumped her. She didn't let go. Worse than that, Mary was even possessed by a demon. Somehow, through Mary's experience, she had sold her soul to the devil. And many people who sell their souls to the devil, they make a bargain with the devil. They're after something that they cannot get. And so they make a bargain with the devil and says, "Devil, if you give this to me, if you just let me have this." I don't know what it was with her, whether she was after a lot of money, whether she was after just, you know, a good time with men. I don't know what it was, but somehow she made that this deal with the devil, and she got hooked, and the devil would not let her go, and the devil possessed her. Whatever the devil wanted to do through her, he did it through her. That was the difference between Mary and Martha. But Mary wanted to be delivered. She knew that there was a man called Jesus who can deliver her, and she would not let go. Amen? Praise be to God. We have got to learn where the action is. We have got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because when we work with the Holy Spirit, there's always action. As a matter of fact, there's a one book in the Bible where the whole name of the book is Action. Amen? Action. They shortened it and called it Acts. Amen? You got to know what the action is. No, I don't care what your ministry position is, what ministry you're involved in. Get with the Holy Ghost. Listen to him. Learn to listen to him. Don't expect to kind of forget about him during the week. And when you come to your committee meeting or when you come on Sabbath, you expect, okay, let me listen to him now. No, whatever you've been listening to in during the week, whatever you've been watching and spending your time with all the week, that's what's speaking to you. But when you are in a spiritual setting, a religious setting, a church setting, it's like you see the problem, but you don't have the answers. And that's how you can easily become burdened with serving. And you get so burdened and you want to sound so religious and you tell everybody else how it's so hard. And you cry, "Lord." Amen? It's not your problem, it's God's problem. Learn that. But learn that several days before you come to church. Learn that the day after you have your meeting and your next meeting is 30 days away, don't wait until the time of the meeting to stand there. You know, you haven't planned, you made no phone calls, you have not made contact, you have not followed up with anybody, but you come to the meeting burdened. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're going to follow through. You're going to find somebody who's going to respond because they're listening to the Holy Spirit too. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're going to be praying for individuals. Amen? When was the last time you prayed for your fellow committee member? When was the last time you put them on the prayer list and you talked to God about what they need in life? Amen? Quit being burdened. Start having compassion. Burdens your focus on programs. Compassion, you're focused on people. Amen? And we're as a church, we're turning that corner. We're no longer a church that's focused on programs, focused on special days, focused on just having a good time and missing out on the people. When you're part of a ministry, and every one of you, you're part of a ministry. You sit down with your ministry. Always point them back to the people. It's easy just to sit down there and plan trips and plan events and do this and do that, and you're just meeting the needs of a small group of people. Why? Because you're focused on programs. When the programs don't go right, you get burdened. But when you sit and you pray and you put that large list of people that God has told you to minister to, amen? Some of the people you don't even know. Some of the people you haven't even spoken to a long time, but they're on your list because of your job, your ministry job description. You kneel down before God and say, God, these are your people. This ministry is not my ministry, it's your ministry. And Lord, tell us how to reach these people. You got to yearn for it. You've got to long for it. Amen. When you're moved with compassion, it's something that's deep within inside. It's not something that you can just turn on and turn off. Amen. God wants us to minister with compassion. Amen. Go now to back to Matthew 10, rather Matthew 9. And we see there from verse 36, Jesus is moved with compassion, seeing the people who are faint and weary, seeing the people who are just thrown like they don't belong to anybody, seeing the people that look like a sheep without a shepherd. Amen? Let us not function like sheep without a shepherd. Amen? Let us function with order. Let us function with plans. Let us function with organization. Amen? Praise God. Then in verse 37, Jesus, after evaluating the problem, in verse 37 and verse 38, he found the solution. The people who have compassion, how they can minister effectively. There is no solution for people who are burdened. When I say there's no solution, God is not going to take your burdened situation and try to get you to minister burdened or find a solution for you to minister while you're burdened. You have to stop being burdened, start having compassion, then you can use the solution that God has given you. Does that make sense? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples, and the same thing he said to disciples back then, he's saying to disciples right now. Amen? He says, the harvest is truly plenteous. It's huge. It's large. It's massive. But the laborers are few. Okay? So that's the problem, why people are just weary. People are just scattered like they're thrown around and used and abused and misused. Like sheep having no shepherd. Why? Few workers. Large harvest. What happens when you have a large harvest and you have no one to harvest it? All spoil. Do you know that the government actually have programs where they pay farmers not to harvest certain crops or not to do certain things? You know what I'm wondering? Who in the world is paying church members not to harvest? So what's the answer? It's not just prayer. We've been doing that. We pray, we pray, we pray. But God wants to have our prayers to be like a guided missile so it can accomplish something. Listen to how he tells us to accomplish and to find the answer to the problem. He says, pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest. What is the focal point here? The harvest. Amen? It's the harvest. Don't get so caught up in the problem that you forget the solution. K can't see the trees for the forest. Harvest. Every time we meet, whether we meet to look at facts and figures, whether we meet to put on a roof, whether we meet to plan for when we're going to put a new carpet down, whether we meet to look at some long-term plans, whether we meet to find ways we can minister to folk that we are not ministering to. The one thing that should be in bold letters on everybody's paper is the harvest. More than just the people, but harvest. If you're not here for the harvest, you might be in the way. Huh? It's like a farmer who called all these people to harvest the crops, and only a few are actually doing the harvest. The rest are just standing around. They're in the way. Our focal point, our focus is the harvest. Amen? And when we're used by God for the harvest, He will take care of the hearts. Yes, He will. Harvest time. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest. You've got to go to the Lord of the harvest. And if He's just your Lord for other things, but not Lord of your of His harvest, you don't call Him Lord of the harvest, again, you're going to be burdened. Lord of the harvest. Lord of the harvest. What else? Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. Amen? Send forth laborers into His harvest. My Lord. Send forth laborers into His harvest. That's the answer. Don't pray about the problem. Don't just pray for the workers. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. And you cannot pray that prayer if you're not a committed harvester. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. You cannot pray that prayer when it was planting time. You did not plant. It's one thing if you showed up after stuff was planted. Question is asked, why there's so many people who are baptized that many of them are not here? Because many people who are here, they're not focused on the harvest. Amen? Yeah. Even right now, as you're sitting here, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Huh? Harvest time. You know, I was at a church that celebrated, you know, so many number of years of being in a lovely building that they built recently. And they were celebrating the anniversary of that building. But there were only a handful of people there. And they made a mistake in having me say something. And I asked them the question. I said, I don't want to throw cold water on your celebration, but what are you celebrating? Are you celebrating things or are you celebrating people? I said to them that you as a church, you should be celebrating another, birthing another church. Amen? Yeah. Because let's say 20 years from now, what's going to change about your situation? What are you going to be celebrating 20 years from now? And if what you're celebrating now does not change, what you celebrate 20 years from now is going to be the same thing. A building, things, programs, and you forget about the people. Now, Jesus did not divide the books of the Bible into chapters. Man did that. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. So when you read verse 38 of chapter 9, to really understand it, you got to go into verse 1 of chapter 10. Let's do that very quickly. He says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what, everybody? He gave them power, and that word, their power, as much as I love the word dunamis, is not the word dunamis. It's the word authority, exousia. He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Amen? Authority. Okay, he gave you authority. When you have authority, you also have power. The police has authority, don't they? All right, they have a badge. They have a uniform. They have a number on that badge. That's authority. But they also have power. Amen? They got some firepower on their hip. They got handcuffs. They have pepper spray. They got all kinds of stuff that if they need to overpower an individual who's resisting arrest, they'll do that. Sometimes they don't do that correctly. We have even police brutality. Amen? But that's an example of a person that has authority with power. What I'm getting at is that when Jesus asks you to harvest people who are totally just strung out, people whose problems you almost want to pull your hair out when you look at how desperate their situations are. People who you say, my Lord, how are we going to reach these folk? All right? And don't get this false thinking that you have to be one or have been one to help one. All right? Throw that out wherever you can throw it out. Because if that was the case, hardly anybody would be helped. Amen? So Jesus is saying, whenever you are helping people, I'm going to give you authority. He gave them authority. Are you with me? So when I go out, I have to believe that I have authority. I have to imagine myself using that, having that authority, speaking with authority. Amen? It's powerful. It's powerful. But then in verse 2, look at verse 2, the Bible says, the names of the 12 apostles. It is so easy that when we minister that we get lost in the group. No, Jesus calls us by name. And he's calling by name. And when somebody who he called doesn't show up, he's wondering where they are. Jesus is calling you by name. Amen? Come. John, come. Peter, come. James, come. Kevin, come. He's calling you by name. Where are you? Don't think because you're a member of Southside Church. No, he's calling by name. Amen? He's calling them by name. All right? What do we do? What is it that we do? What's our job description? Look at verse 7. And as you go, amen, he says, do what? Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Huh? Come on now. When was the last time you participated in somebody being healed? Don't shy away from that. This is your job description. You are a healer. Huh? Then it says, cleanse the lepers. You got to get down and get dirty for Jesus. Amen? And when you don't do this, you have to focus on something else. And what is that? Is that P word? Programs. Okay? When you heal, when you cleanse, you don't need a program. Amen? Just need to organize yourself. Make your plans. Spend some time strategizing how you're going to do it. Then do it. Uh-oh. What's the next one? Raise the dead. All right? Jesus not only gives you healing power, cleansing power, but he gives you resurrection power. Amen? So don't look at what you got to come up with. Just look at what you got to be with Christ and what he's going to do through you. Then he says, cast out devils. Amen? Check this out. When we do the casting out, he does the casting in. Huh? If you don't believe me, when you go to chapter 9 and verse 38, where it says that, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. That word send forth means cast out. It's the same word that he used earlier in that chapter where he cast out the demon. All right, I think that is verse 33 of chapter 9, when the devil was cast out. That's that word ekbalo. He used that same word ekbalo to says that I will cast them in. Amen. We do the work of healing. We do the work of cleansing. We do the work of resurrecting. We do the work of casting out. God says, as fast as you cast out those demons, I'm going to cast in workers. Amen. Amen? So quit standing there, sitting there, complaining about the problem with a problem. And start having the compassion that Jesus have. Using the solution that Jesus used, and then you will find the answers. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we're taking time to pray with these individuals. And I guarantee you this. Our goal is to pray for these individuals how often? How often? Every day. Have you missed a day? But when you have compassion on that person, amen, you're going to pray for them every day. But when you do it because Pastor Ramey said do it, and somehow you feel guilty not doing it, you're going to be burdened to do it. Somebody's going to have to remind you to do it. Amen? God wants us to start ministering with what, everybody? With compassion. Last verse. This one ought to make you shout. Verse 20 of chapter 10. Jesus Christ is making it so plain. It's like the nose on our face. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Question is, are you going to be a Mary who ministers with compassion, listens to the Holy Spirit? She's where the action is. Or are you going to be a Martha, still going to church, still working, but burdened? Any one of those stories that I told earlier, you can change the names, change a little bit of this scenario, and there you have your sister, your brother. There you have your son, your daughter, your mother, your father. There you have your ex. There you have your grandchildren. Amen? Your neighbor, your co-worker. You see them every single day. One of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing and working so hard to expect the same results. Let us minister with compassion, with a desire to alleviate pain, suffering, even death. People are walking around, but they have already died inside. God has given you resurrection power. Amen? And let us as a church be spirit-led. How are we led? And we have to qualify that many times because there are many spirits that's not of the Holy Spirit. So a lot of members say, I'm spirit-led, but with the wrong spirit. It's got to be Holy Spirit-led. Because there are lying spirits. There are dumb spirits. There are the spirit of slumber. There are unclean spirits. You may have the right, you may have a spirit, but the wrong spirit. We are Holy Spirit-led. Amen? Every committee meeting, every board meeting, every business meeting, Holy Spirit-led. Holy Spirit is not going to have you talk ugly to other people. I don't care how passionate you are about your subject. Take that passion and add the word C-O-M in front of it and have compassion. Amen? Holy Spirit led. Holy Spirit is not the spirit of division. Have one people going this direction, another people going that direction. Like a sheep without a shepherd. Amen? Holy Spirit led. That's who we are. And as Holy Spirit led people, we are trained. Somebody say the word trained. Trained to evangelize. Amen? Evangelize. Trained to disciple. You've got to disciple those you evangelize. Into what? A loving fellowship. The Bible says that they shall know you and know that you are my disciples by the, and he used the word agape love, right? He didn't use the word philae love. Philae is the brother and sister love, the family love. No, he says it supersedes that. It's the agape love. It's not about who you like. It's not about having cliques. It's not about you're just going to keep with your little circle and you're going to exclude everybody else. That's the filet love. There's too much filet love in the church and not enough agape love in the church. We got to bring them into a loving fellowship. Amen? Love means, that kind of love means self-sacrificing love. Amen. Open to who? Just Seventh-day Adventists? Just people who look nice, smell nice, have a job that they can contribute towards the ministries of this church? Every single person. No discrimination. No discrimination on color, no discrimination on age, no discrimination on educational status, no discrimination on marital status, no discrimination on whatever. Financial status. All. Amen? All. That's who we are. That's who you are. I didn't say that. God says that. Amen. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, I say go and act like the Son of God, the daughter of God. Work and minister with compassion. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this awesome privilege of being here today. It is so easy to come here, be here, Lord, and just leave here. What are we leaving with today? How are we going to make a difference? Please, Lord, please, you promise that when they are cast out, you will cast in. And you can do that right now. And I pray, Father God, that each person sitting here right now, whether that person is in their teens, their 20s, their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, that each person right now will believe that they have been called and anointed by God and given the power to bring healing, cleansing, given the power to cast out, given the power to even raise dead things for your harvest. Please, Lord, I declare right now, because we're ending We're coming towards a time of the end where it's about to close. The devil is flexing his ugly muscles. He's causing more pain and more suffering. He's causing more division. He's hitting harder than he's hit before. Because of that, Father God, I'm just declaring right now, any member of this church that doesn't have harvest on their minds, you don't give them rest day or night until they come full circle with harvest on their mind. Till they come with not just passion, but compassion. Time is about to wind up, God. We don't want to be like a sheep that's scattered, just like the people who are trying to reach. But let us be like a sheep who are shepherd. Let us be like a sheep, Father God, who are organized. A sheep who are unified. A sheep that are Holy Ghost led. That's who we are, because that's who you said we are. And I declare right now, every lazy spirit, every confusing spirit, every dead spirit, every lying spirit, every pretending spirit, every sleeping spirit right now has been cast out. I declare they're gone. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Take your hands off. Go. Move in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. You said you will come in like a rushing mighty wind. There's that word ekbalo. You ekbalo them out, you're going to ekbalo them in. Holy Ghost, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.